Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello everybody, welcome to Pop Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello.
Did you know? I keep opening these news things with did you know, but did you know?
It's always no.
Well, there's a new time splitter coming.
It's taken
a long time.
I can't get too excited for new time splitters. I've been excited for new time splitters. I'll tell you why, Scott.
Go on.
Because ever since 2008 or whenever it was that Time Splitters 4 was originally announced,
yep.
I've been excited at the prospect of a Time Splitters sequel, and I've been burnt too many times before.
See, all these other times in the past, because I was right there with you, you know, being immolated as well, but all those other times was they were always based on rumors and leaks and all these things potentially going forward, and then it's not. Free Radical had a whole hell of a time coming initially. Coming from different X-Rare staff and then, you know, becoming Crytek.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. And the franchise was just passed back and forward, and now it's part of THQ. The reason that we're talking about it today is that Time Splitters is literally mentioned as part of THQ Nordic's financial report and everything. They also mentioned that they're getting Steve Ellis back, who's the dude that was who worked on GoldenEye and Perfect Dark and then the original Time Splitters.
Yep.
The reason Time Splitters is a big old deal and the reason so many people fell in love with it, he's going to have a massive part in that. He had a huge part in putting the multiplayer into GoldenEye, etc. So, dude is a legend, is what I'm saying.
And he's back.
And the fact that they're mentioning it as part of their financial report is pretty damn confident. We're getting a new Time Splitters.
That is crazy.
Like
I said, this has been a long time coming, but over the past few years, it's just been one rumor after the next and kind of Crytek UK talking about how they wanted to make a new Time Splitters, but they didn't know if it was viable. And then obviously they went kind of under at the end.
Uh-huh.
But now that we have the co-creator back and THQ is saying, yep, you know what? We are going to make this game. We are actually going to do it. You know what? Partly still doesn't believe them. But at the same time, I'm more excited than I've ever been.
I think it makes the most sense in the current climate because we've had the influx of hero shooters. We've had like big over-animated art styles like Fortnite and Overwatch. Time Splitters, if you go back to the cutscenes, like they were very much ahead of their time, although it did fit at the time for like, you know, Pixar-style animated stuff.
Yep.
But if you look at things like, I don't know, Team Fortress, like I said, Overwatch, the animated shorts, like Time Splitters would fit perfectly with doing a series of animated shorts alongside it to help promote the different characters. And if you go back to that game's cutscenes, especially Time Splitters 2, you get such a Pixar kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the feel of Time Splitters, even though people associate, you know, their sort of memories with the multiplayer. And the single player stuff, the campaign stuff, Time Splitters 2 in particular, is still just
really
so
good.
Memorable. That game's DAM level is brilliant.
Yes.
Like, there's a thing that these devs seem to put together, like really memorable DAM levels. Like, GoldenEye has one and this has one. I'm just psyched. And I love that feel of gameplay.
Me too. Yeah. I hope they can kind of recreate what made the original special, because obviously a lot of time has passed since those launched.
True.
And multiplayer especially has evolved so much. I wouldn't even mind, and I was talking to people in the office about this yesterday, when you tragically weren't in.
I wasn't.
About whether I would be happy if they kind of made the next Time Splitters potentially a budget title, maybe $30 instead of $60,
right.
But they retained the arcadey feel to
right,
a T.
Right.
Like if they just, not recreated it, obviously not remastered it, but really, really dug into what made those games special rather than trying to modernize them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's going to have local multiplayer. Like, it needs four player split screen. That was something that this whole franchise was sort of like, you know, came to prominence on. And I think that, like you said, if they did like an old school feel, I think it's the perfect time for it. Like, Doom's going back to arena style shooting.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Quake Champions on PC. And Ion Storm just came out, which is from 3D Realms, which is another Doom style game. Even Void Bastards is like totally like Doom in space. Like, it feels like a lot of the industry is actually pivoting back into old school shooters, like arena style shooters with that sort of fluid sense of movement and not worrying about perk systems and whatever, just being like, here's a gun, you don't even need to worry about reloading it, just chase after your friends and just have fun, which is the stuff that we grew up on anyway.
Well, exactly, it's kind of that mechanical focus combined with the character-driven focus of multiplayer shooters like Overwatch, where those distinct heroes and those colourful heroes and those very memorable heroes are part of the charm again, where instead of just generic soldier number three who you don't even see until you die and get blown away in Call of Duty, like, there is space for the characters that made Time Splitters so memorable to come back.
Oh, God,
the crazy gingerbread men ones.
I want the little monkey with the twin pistols.
I want the little monkey with the twin pistols to come back.
I also hope that this, because a while ago there was a sort of discussion around the idea that they would bring Time Splitters back as a remastered collection, which, like, just to sort of renew the IP. And I think looking at what THQ's done with Darksiders, it's just, I think they'll do that with Time Splitters. Like, this isn't part of their report, but Time Splitters makes perfect sense on the Switch. The Switch would run it beautifully. Time Splitters, all three, just do a nice little Time Splitters collection, like you said, for like a budget price, and remind people why it's so good. I think there'll be a whole generation of people that barely even played them that would have been like fetuses when Time Splitters came out. So it's worthwhile going back to that series, or just renewing the fact that it is one of the best first person shooter series of all time.
That's really interesting. Now, like you said, it's something I haven't even thought about, but a lot of people wouldn't have played these games as a kid like we did. But I feel like Time Splitters as a brand has this cult kind of classic vibe to it, that even if you haven't played it, you've probably heard of it, or you've heard other people tell stories about how good the multiplayer and single player was. So I feel like there would be an interest in especially a remastered collection to big people up for the next actual installment, which we now know is almost certainly
happening. Yeah, and like I said, if you do it on Switch, you've got the whole Joy-Con thing. It's just, to a lot of people, it was the golden eye of the PS2. Like, it just is. So I think if you can bring that back, that'd be good. Another massive thing that came from the financial report is that Saints Row 5 is happening.
Well, let's dig into this, because me and you have conflicting opinions on the Saints Row franchise.
So the Saints Row fandom is only in two halves. Either you're like you and you prefer 1 and 2, or you're like me and you prefer 3 and 4. So either you love the ridiculous direction that they went in, which I do. I genuinely think Saints Row 3 is like one of the best games of all time, and that 4 is an immaculate evolution of that, but it's also the tipping point. They couldn't go anywhere after that, as is proven in Get Out of Hell and then Agents of Mayhem.
Well, it's that's the interesting thing, because obviously they've tried to branch out with a new IP in Agents of Mayhem, but now that the original developers, I think they're Volition Games,
they made now, the Punisher.
They actually,
yeah,
I love the
Volition.
Punisher.
Stellar, like Volition, Raven. There's some good old school devs like from the late 2000s that are just adorable. Anyway.
But the fact that they're going back to this franchise for the first time, I guess, since Raw 4 was 2013, so it's been six years since a proper installment. That's obviously awesome. In Saints Row 5, if it is called Saints Row 5, should be interesting, but. Like you said, where can it go from here? They went to hell in the last proper spin-off game.
I don't count Get Out of Hell. Like I said, I think that was them going too far. Even Saints Row 4 was them going too far, but they still knew what they were doing. It was like, we're going to do an alien invasion, you're going to play as the president, we're going to have you listening to Aerosmith when you're chasing down a rocket in the tutorial or whatever. And I just, that was them. They were on such form. Like I said, I think 3 and 4 are some of the most hilarious games ever written. Like, extremely good scripts and very good self-aware stuff and lots of, like, you know, character customization, which then affected different dialogue. Things that you could say in the agency that you had in the world. But following that, they didn't really know where to go. And Saints Row 4 kind of ended on this almost Game of Thrones style approach to someone's on a throne and, like, oh, we're like looking over these different realms and kingdoms and whatever. And it was like, where the hell do you go from there? And I think because they've got the original devs back and because there seems to be a bigger swath of the fandom that prefer the originals, that this will be them going back into GTA territory.
Interesting.
Especially because Rockstar have relaxed their approach to GTA anyway and seem to focus so much on GTA Online and Red Dead Online. Maybe there is just a space for a good open world crime game that isn't being filled. True Crime's gone, Sleeping Dogs is gone, GTA is turned. Maybe that is like all in is just being GTA.
Well, that's a fascinating dynamic because obviously back in the day when Saints Row first came around, there were so many GTA clones. And like you said, Grand Theft Auto as a franchise has sort of run away from everyone else. No one can kind of replicate the production values of that series. No one can give any other studio $200 million and just say go nuts, because no other studio can recoup that cost.
True.
And I think that's why, like you said, people have moved away from just trying to mimic what GTA did. But now that everyone's done that, there is a gap in the market, and with GTA games coming out so infrequently, they could step up and kind of go back to their roots, as it were, and still keep the comedy, still keep the wackiness to an extent, but sort of fill that gap that may need to be filled.
Those original ones, they're the first two. Like, I remember, Saints 2 already went down a certain route where you were, like, you know, using like a god, like it was like a sewage truck to just cover a house and crap.
Yeah.
That was like, they were talking, well, it'd be a little more wacky. And then 3 was like entirely that direction. And like I said, I love it. But if you go all the way back to Saints Row 1, which like totally there's some pockets of the fandom that adore that original game, because it kind of was like it was just like a more grounded sort of approach to stuff back when GTA was being so wacky. And like I said, with GTA now, like the budgets are so massive that they, I'm not going to say they're unfocused, but, well, yeah, I'll say they're unfocused. Like, GTA 5 is all over the place. Minigames in one direction, online stock markets in another, GTA Online in another direction. The mission design, like, especially Red Dead 2, it's like, do this exact thing or you fail. Like, you know, there's a way to make a good GTA
clone. No, 100%, but funny you should mention the mission design, because that's the thing that kind of put me off the later Saints Row, especially, and by the time I got to Get Out of Hell, I was just thinking, might as well just go back and play a Crackdown and just collect the orbs and stuff. But for me, it was that, although I quite like the feel of Saints Row, when it got to actually playing it, it's the same with Just Cause for me. I like the mechanics, I like the way it feels, but when we get down to the nitty-gritty, what am I actually doing? It's kind of just the same stuff over and over again, and that, for me, I fall off very quickly, but it's just that kind of checklisty open world sandbox style that even Ubisoft, to their credit, as much as I rip on them and these for having a checklist sort of mentality, even they've kind of evolved and moved past that to an extent.
I think in Saints Row's case, the reason that 3 sort of did so well is because it lampooned a lot of the other games in the genre, where it was like, actually, we're not going to make you wait for this, like, you know, massive weapon upgrade. We're going to give you the orbital strike in like the third mission, and why don't you just use that on some gangsters, because it's clearly ridiculous overkill, and wouldn't that be fun? And they just rode that out, you know, let you like respec your character whenever you want. You can completely change your like race and gender and everything, and it's like that whole approach to like, we're not even going to bother with like Rockstar's more serious direction with GTA 4 and just be ridiculous and stupid, which is why I think that if they're doing something that bounces off what GTA is, it would be more focused and it would be less labyrinthine, and you'd have a character saying like, do you want to go bowling, and he's like, why do I want to do that, and then it just goes to the next mission or something like that.
Yeah,
I think if they're going to do this, and like, you know, because it was always Saints Row versus GTA, then that would be the way to sort of do it.
Yeah,
so I'm curious, but for me, I would take more ridiculous stuff, but I also don't know how you do that, being that 3 and 4 are like the mecca of that stuff.
See, you say this, but I remember when Saints Row 2 came around, and that was the ridiculous GTA, and I remember thinking, there's no way they can one-up this. There's just no way. This is as far as they can go. This is as silly as they can get. And then obviously they leap and bounded well over that.
It's
now
true.
We're at this breaking point. So maybe we're just at the point where we're thinking that again, and they've got something up this
sleeve. I don't know how they top fighting aliens, getting caught by aliens, breaking out of prison to Hathaway's What Is Love. I don't think that's doable.
I mean, I don't, but also I'm not making the games, you know what I mean?
It's true. If they can top that scene, if they can top, like I said, like, you know, riding a rocket with Aerosmith's Don't Want to Miss a Thing and then doing a thumbs up to the camera before Saints Row 4 pops on the screen, then maybe that's
the
thing.
You know what? I've often wondered why you loved this series, and now I know. Now I know. All you had to do was describe this scene to me, because that's the most Scott Tilford thing ever. No, I just forgot that happened, and now you're describing it. It's very
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I think if they put some synthwave music behind it, I'd do that. Maybe I'd love it a bit more. The last thing that came out of this is that Dead Island 2 has got another developer. Started with Jaeger, then went to Sumo Digital, and now is with Dambuster Games. But really interestingly, because I started Googling Dambuster because I hadn't heard of them, Dambuster are the original developers made up of the people that separated from Rare back when they became Free Radical. So there's a weird little connection to Timesplitters, because although the earlier announcement that we mentioned earlier, the new Timesplitters is being made by Steve Ellis, assumedly by a new team, that original crew that did the that were Free Radical are now working on Dead Island. So like
a weird
I mean, who knows like how many different personnel left and stuff, but like the people that left Rare became Free Radical, then they became Crytek UK, and now they're Dambuster Games or whatever.
Third time is the charm.
And so third time for their company being rebranded, and third time for the developers on Dead Island 2. I couldn't care less about Dead Island. I thought Dead Island 1 was terrible, but if you're gonna give it, everyone thinks it's terrible.
I liked it.
Did you?
I didn't like Riptide, but I liked the first one.
Okay, I mean, I understand. Yeah, I hate it. No, I'm doing that. I'm just mimicking you. No, it's that. I didn't like Dead Island at all, but I think if you're going to give it to any developer that could resurrect it and make it just feel like a good game again, then it would be these guys.
But I
haven't drilled down to the exact personnel of who got shaved off as the different companies just changed hands or whatever.
Yeah.
Point being, though, that they still care about Dead Island 2 and they've given it to a respectable dev.
They spent a lot of money on this game, and the fact that it hasn't come out already is kind of strange. I wonder what's stopped it, because the two developers that they had on the project before then, both Sumo and Jaeger, are both really good, so it's not like they just drafted someone in that didn't know what they were doing and then THQ binned them off. This is the third time they brought a well-respected studio in to work on Dead Island 2, so I wonder what part of the concept just has not clicked over the years?
I don't know. I don't know if it's just like a reflection on the zombie genre as well. Like, I feel like, you know, the Walking Dead game just sort of limped out and died. And it's just kind of like, when was the last time we had like a massive zombie game? Like, I guess like Days Gone, kind of. But
yeah,
they kind of went against it. You kind of had State of Decay on the Xbox. But I feel like the zombie genre's like peak was towards the early 2010s. And I just kind of wonder if that's why something like Dead Island made so much sense. And maybe they're just playing their cards more carefully because they know that it went so sideways with that first game. In terms of the trailer to the launch day.
Well, that's it. Even when the first trailer for Dead Island 2 came around, I remember people just kind of thinking, all right. Especially when you've got Dying Light, obviously made by the developers who made the original Dead Island, kind of making a sequel that people are looking forward to and delivering that awesome first game. Mm-hmm. The competition is quite high, and like you said, the interest in the zombie genre itself is kind of wavering. It's not at that peak anymore.
It makes me think like what you can even do with it at this point, because they, you know, this team are known for split-screen multiplayer games, or something more engine-pushing like what happened with Crytek and Crysis. But I just don't know what you do with it, with the brand, the Dead Island brand. I'd rather you just gave them a new thing.
I know what you do.
Go on.
You change the name from zombies to freakers. And then suddenly it's original again.
Oh, can we have 60 hours of crafting? Because I really want to like ignore the story for about 60 to 80 hours.
Days Gone is good.
Days Gone is good.
Probably.
But oh my god, it takes forever to get to the end.
Yes.
Anyway though, yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below. Hopefully you're happy for the return of Splinter Cell, I was going to say there. Time Splinters.
I wish.
That's because I really, and usually when I say I'm happy for the return of, I want it to be Splinter Cell so badly that my mind just puts it in. But yeah, let us know what you think of the potential return of Time Splinters and Saints Row 5 as well. For now though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.